So we opened up our message last week by Seth and Ralph singing our national anthem. So I wanted to just bring that to you this morning as we get into our message today. And the message last week was we were just basically bringing evidence that shows that our country was established as a Christian nation, established by godly men on godly principles. That was our message last week, and we presented a lot of evidence in that hour, evidence of that you don't have to look very far to see it, but you do have to look. Evidence that's preserved for us to see. We just gotta look for it. Evidence in our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, in the national symbols like the flag, the national anthem that was just sung, our Liberty Bell that even has scripture engraved right onto the bell. So that's where we're kind of following up a little bit on that. And we also were looking at the lives of our founding fathers, it is evident. We have this picture hanging in our house. And it's just a reminder that, you know what? If George Washington had to pray, he was going through some stuff, then we do too. You know what? We do. So last week, Gary, we did a dual kind of a teaching last week, and Gary was helping me out. He presented some really interesting statistics about, if you remember, some of the supernatural things that God did in protecting and guiding this country. But I shared briefly that we also had our own situation, our own supernatural testimony. I believe it was all God. When we went through the last presidential election, this was the election. It was between the presidential election was between Hillary and Donald. And just before the election, almost 2 years ago, I sought God, as I always do every week. Lord, what am I supposed to speak on? What am I to bring forth? So I get my direction from him. I don't just whip things up on my own. I seek God. And so on that particular day, I was to teach on why it's okay for the church to be involved in government. Why pastors can speak from their pulpit about government. God ordained government. He ordained it. He created it. And so the thing that I was led to speak about in part of that message was to define what separation of church and state actually means or meant back then. It's not what it means today. It's not how people perceive it today. But and another thing I went to talk about I was led to speak about the Black-Robed Regiment. And so what I shared in that message was who they were, what they taught, and how they influenced the founding fathers of our country. It was they're called the Black Robe Regiment. And so those were preachers who boldly spoke the truth of God's word from their pulpit, unapologetically, unhindered. They spoke it boldly. And they taught the word and how to use that word to be victorious in whatever situation you're dealing with. They spoke it boldly. They used God's word. They were very bold in their political stand, and it was all based it on the word of God. When I gave that message almost 2 years ago, there was a lot of unsettling in our country. You saw a lot of division. We saw the fake news. We saw the polls, that were saying that there was going to be a Democratic win. There was a lot of division. But the division I saw was even in the Christian community. Christians didn't know who to vote for. They didn't know. And so, at that time, neither a candidate really looked that appealing. So that day in my message, I felt led to say that we need to seek God about who we vote for. Okay? We need to seek him. God, who do you want in that office? Who do you want to be president? Who should be, who's that person? And that day I felt led to give, to have several voter guides available for our people here. And really those voter guides just tell who stands for what they believe in. That's what the voter guides were for. And so I had gotten one from Billy Graham's ministry. I had that available here. I had gotten another one from some Pennsylvania council, and they just shared what each candidate was for. I think we need to be informed. What are we voting for? You know, when we vote, we don't vote for someone because they're the color of our skin. We don't vote for someone because they're attractive or good looking. We don't vote for someone because they happen to be the same sex as we are. We vote for, as Christians, we vote for the people who most closely align with God. That's how we vote, people. That's how we vote. So, do they align with God? Do they align? Which one most closely represents God? And so, while I was teaching on this subject for the first time, someone drops off these voter guides upstairs. Now, no one else was here in the building. We were the only ones open. The only ones open on a Sunday. I'm preaching about the Black Robe Regiment. We're handing out voter guides. There's a really important election coming up. And I saw Christians divided, not knowing who to vote for. Okay? God set this whole thing up. I can't make this stuff up, guys. I can't. So Gary brings these voter guides down, and I'm looking at him like, oh, man, this is so clear. You see exactly what each one, they have them here, what each one stands for. They have president, they have the Senate on here, and they also have for Congress. And the neat thing also, I mean, this is just all, the congressional district is, back at this time, this was listed for district number 14, which was not our district. And we get these guides. Gary said that district was Pittsburgh. But we get this guide that day, the day I'm teaching on the Black Robe Regiment, the voter guide, what do we seek God for, who we're supposed to vote for, okay? And so we get this guide, and Gary brings it down, look at, oh my gosh, this is the best one. It's so clear. Anybody can understand it. This one is so clear. The very first point they have on here, this person willing to appoint and confirm pro-life judges. Pro-life. And, of course, they all have their, Hillary Clinton has a no under her name, and Donald Trump has a yes. And if you go down the whole list, I'm going to hand this out so you can all look at it. You can see the one situation will be yes, and the person will have an opposite response all the way down. Very clear. Very clear. And so, but I said, and it's also in Spanish on the back. Awesome. Best one. I said, who printed this? How did this get here? And I looked down at the bottom, and this was paid for by the National Black Robe Regiment out of Texas. I didn't even know that they existed anymore. We're talking about the Black Robe Regiment from revolutionary days, But this is like, whoa, this is awesome. I'd like you to just take it and pass it around, if you will, and just look at the clarity. Look at the clarity. I mean, God, you are awesome. You are so awesome. Ah! Who would have thought? So anyway, those voter guides came out. They were so, so clear. I was just blown away. So I saved those voter guides. So there it is. I believe that God had his hand in that whole thing. It was a setup. We don't tell you who to vote for, but we tell you what does God stand for. And you see God about that. God, you know what? God is not schizophrenic. He's not schizophrenic. He won't tell you to vote one way and you to vote some another way. He's not schizophrenic. He knows who he wants in that office. And so, you know, with that voter guide, I figured, well, you know what? If they get it wrong on the first question, if they aren't honoring God in the first question, the pro-life thing, I don't even have to look at the rest of them. Because if they're not honoring God in the one, they're not going to honor him in the rest of them too. Yikes. Oh, my gosh. It's important for voters to be educated. And so we saw in Scripture last week why it is our duty, Kathy, why it's our duty to vote in godly men and women, those who love the truth and hate covetousness. To place them as rulers. This is where God ordained government, as rulers over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and over tens. Exodus 18:21. God tells us who to put into places of leadership and government right there. All right. And so Scripture also says, Kathy, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, when the righteous are in authority, when they're in government, when they're in leadership, the people what?
Rejoice.
But when the wicked rule, the people what? Mourn. Yes, they mourn. And then God will bless the nation. We have it standing up there. God will bless the nation. Kathy, can you bring up that scripture? Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's. Blessed. We are blessed if we call God Lord of our country. Awesome, 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 awesome. So when I shared that message, almost 2 years ago, about the pastors, you know, being the Black Robe Regiment, they're the pastors. They're in their pulpits and they're declaring the truth of God's word boldly. They motivated and they encouraged the people, including our founding fathers, to take responsibility and to do what is right, even in the face of adversity. They did it. And because they did that, we sit here free. We can worship. We can come to this place unhindered. We can praise. We can pray. We can honor God in this place because of what they did. Powerful. Powerful. So, you know, when you look at that voter guide, you can see there's very clear distinction when you're going down there. It'll come to you. It should be pretty easy for a Christian, right, to choose a candidate, you know, when you know the values that candidate holds. It should be easy, right? As Christians, our choice should be where the candidate's values align most likely with God's. Are they pro-life or are they open to seeing babies slaughtered, unborn babies slaughtered? Are they established on God's standard for marriage? Are they open for man to redefine what marriage is? God ordained marriage. So the Black Robe Regiment, they were preachers who taught unapologetically from their pulpits the truth of God's word. I do want to, you know, Gary used this quote last week. I'm running out of time. But he used Alexis de Tocqueville, if you remember that young man who came from France. And he came to find out, why is America so blessed? What's going on there? And he went all across the land. Remember, we looked everywhere. And this is where he said he found it. He heard her pulpits flame with righteousness. With righteousness. And then he said this. Gary shared this last week. America, this is what Alexis de Tocqueville said. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yep. De Tocqueville. Alexis de Tocqueville. T-O-C. T-O-D-E. T-O-C-Q-U-E-V-I-L-L-E. So good was being proclaimed from those pulpits. And yes, you're right. Let's make America great again. Yeah. Okay. So, you can look at that voter guide and you can see a clear distinction who's for God and who isn't. You can see that on that voter guide. And that should help a Christian to be able to make right, good decisions, right? If they had that knowledge. But what I saw a division in the Christian population, not knowing who or what to vote for. You know, not all Christians take a firm stand on what God wrote in his Bible. We're dealing with this right now, guys. I had that message 2 years ago, but we're seeing it. It is in our face today. So that's where we're going with this message today. You know, there seems to be a division, even confusion, a lack of discernment among Christians. I've heard a number of you make comments. If this person's a Christian, how can they think like that? How can they act like that? I've heard those comments from you. Let's talk about what it is, okay? Could it be, this is a question that I have for you, could it be that the preachers behind the pulpits today aren't boldly declaring what the Black Robe Regiment did? That's a question I give you. Okay. Have our messages become lukewarm? Have they become lukewarm? Have they been watered down? How can we see so much division in the Christian community? We were singing about unity a while ago. We're singing about unity. This is supposed to be simple for Christians, right? It's supposed to be simple. Read the book. Why the disunity in the church body? Last week, or was it 2 weeks now, there was an evangelistic outreach in Asbury Park, New Jersey. 2 weeks ago? Called Festival of Life. Do y'all remember that Festival of Life that Jonathan Shuttlesworth had here? Several of us volunteered and we went and we helped, we ministered. We helped him in his goal there. And his goal was souls. Life. Festival of Life. That's what he was doing. So we got to see him. We got to meet him. We got to know his heart. We saw how God uses him to boldly preach the truth, boldly. And we saw hundreds and hundreds saved. Jonathan has a very special anointing for reaching people. He's bold. He is bold, bold like that Black Robe Regiment. He's bold. He'll share the truth. Not everybody likes the truth, though. Here he was going into Asbury Park, and he was met with a lot of opposition there. There is a vibrant LGBTQ community there. They met him with much opposition. I was very saddened to hear, and Ralph had some friends that came up from Florida to help minister. And so Ralph got a day-by-day news broadcast, the real news, what was going on. And I was so saddened to hear that 15, you know, when Jonathan came here, he invited all churches, come and help. Come and help. I'm leaving, but I want those. You need a disciple, you know. And so he was doing that at Asbury Park. He was asking the pastors and the churches to come together. And I was so sad to hear 15 to 20 of the churches backed out and sided with the protesters. Wow. 15 to 20. Five churches. Five churches. The protesters didn't want Jonathan to come and speak. Do you know freedom of speech is a Christian privilege too? Come on. It's a Christian privilege? We can speak. They had several articles in their paper. They set up... Right, they knew where Jonathan was going to be going, and they set up a protest right across the street where Jonathan was speaking. And as people were coming, they were blaring their music to try to drown out Jonathan's music. Now, this is the song that they were blaring. It was by Lady Gaga's Blaring As Loud As They Could, Born This Way. Born This Way. And from Jonathan Shuttlesworth's team, they had live music. They had live music, and they were singing Amazing Grace. They were singing This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. See the division. Just see the division there. Whoa. Dark and light. So clear. Why couldn't those churches see it? Why? Wow. So Jonathan went anyway. None of that stopped him. That was what he was supposed to do. And 500, the total that we got, 530 souls. Come through. 530. And at least one of them was one of the protesters. Yeah. But we'll take the 530. Let's take the 530. Could have been more, but let's take the 530. That's right. That's absolutely right. You got it. But my heart, when I heard that, my heart was for those pastors and the congregation that they lead. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Have mercy on them. Open their eyes. Open their ears. That was my cry. Ralph was feeding this stuff to me. I'm like, oh, it hurt. It hurts. There's division, guys, and you need to know it. You got to see it. The protesters did not like Jonathan's boldness. They don't like what he says. Jonathan boldly calls the criticism against him and the pro-gay agenda an antichrist spirit. And he is right. He is absolutely right on. We got to call it what it is, guys. You know, the Bible says that in the end times, people will call evil good and good evil. No, we have to call evil evil and good good. That's our responsibility. There is a spirit of Antichrist in America, folks. You gotta know it. We need strong discernment to know what is good and what is evil. God, help those pastors. Help those pastors to see. Ah, they gotta see what it is. And it's deception. It is absolute deception. The enemy wants to confuse people. He's been doing that since day one. You remember the garden? He devours people with his lies. He goes around seeking who he may devour. Kathy, could you, this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Do we have that? Okay, here's Paul. He's talking to the church at Corinth, and he was concerned for them. This is what he says. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul was concerned for the Corinthians in the church there. Christianity is supposed to be simple, he says, you know. But if the serpent could deceive Eve and Adam, If the serpent could deceive them and they were living in perfection, would you think that he might have some sway even in the church? Yeah. So this is supposed to be simple. It's supposed to be simple, Paul is saying. Then why doesn't it look so simple? Why does it look like there are so many Christians struggling for choosing right? Even pastors. Why? I want to look at that word, simplicity. Paul's saying this should be simple, guys. What does simplicity mean? I believe that that's going to give us a clue here, okay? Simplicity, the Greek word is haplotis. It means simplicity. It means singleness. It means sincerity without dissimulation or self-seeking. Is that pretty clear? Whoa. The simplicity of Christ is being singly minded with Christ. It's being singly minded with his word. That's it. It's being Christ focus, not self-focus, not self-seeking, not anti-Christ. The devil desires that we would leave the simplicity of Christ. It worked on Eve, and it worked on Adam, worked on them. He wants us to get our minds off of Christ, off of the word, and he wants us to listen to man. The enemy is very crafty. He's very deceptive in his ways. And he tries to get us to do what he wants us to do. Why does he do that? Remember, the enemy is a spirit. And he can't do anything without the cooperation of fleshly human beings on this earth. He's very subtle. He'll make something look one way when it's actually another way. So the Bible says we need to be aware of the devices, the schemes of the enemy. That's 2 Corinthians 2:11. So those pastors and the churches in Asbury Park that sided with the protesters, they were deceived. They were deceived. They listened to Satan's lies. Jonathan Shuttlesworth wasn't coming to their community with hate speech. He was coming there with the love of God. He was coming there with the truth, just like he did here when he was a year ago. That was a year ago, out there in the Jordan Park. We need to have God's perspective, not our peanut brain perspective. We need God's perspective. You know what God says in his word? It is hate to not tell the truth. It's hate to not tell the truth. Love tells the truth. You know, I looked up that word hate in Webster's dictionary, and the definition that I saw was intense hostility. Intense hostility. Jonathan didn't go to Asbury Park with intense hostility towards the people. He was going there to bring them life, to love on those people. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Woo. So those who are aligned with the enemy are going to protest. You know, the world calls hate speech anything that is not in agreement with the way they think. But, you know, that shouldn't surprise us. Remember Jesus? You know, when he was on this earth, he had some opposition as well. He told the protesters back then, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, he said, I speak the truth. You do not believe me. I speak the truth. Jesus was speaking the truth in love, but they didn't believe him. You can go to your Bibles. Go to John 8. John 8. We may not get very far on this message today, but we're going. John chapter 8, and I want to look at start looking at 42. I want you to see this in your Bibles. John 8, 42. If God were your father, Jesus is talking to the protesters, okay? If God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, you would love me. Why do you not understand my speech? Jesus is speaking. Because you are not able to listen to my word. God, what are God's words? They are truth and life. God says that, you know, God, the scripture says he is love. So his words are love, right? Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. Scripture tells us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and to love others as we love ourselves. That's what we're to do. We're to love. Telling the truth is love. It's love. Truth spoken in love can set people free, but only if they're willing to listen, only if they can listen. So we pray, God, open their ears, open their eyes so that they can know your truth. If we as Christians are, if we're single-minded, that's what Paul was saying, you got to be single-minded, only focused on God, only focused on his word, then and not listening to what the word is, what the world is saying, it really is simple. It is simple. His word doesn't change. We just gotta look, open it up, get it into you. It's simple to know what God stands for and what he doesn't. Read his word and submit to it. Interestingly, while I was looking up that word for hate in Webster's dictionary, there was another word listed there under hate. And that word was abomination. That was listed under hate. What does God call the practice of homosexuality, lesbianism? Abomination. Abomination. In order for us to be Christ-centered, we have to focus on God, be single-minded, die to ourselves, die to our own flesh, to our own opinions, and line them up with God. That's what we got to do. I mentioned a quote that I had heard someone else mention. I said this last week, another evangelist, Moody. He said, "No one's heart is big enough to hold two thrones." No one's heart is big. Either God is on the throne of your heart or you are. If we're Christ-focused, then we're not focused on ourselves. We're not self-seeking. It's not about us. And, you know, John Mark Poole said this. We need to make a declaration. A declaration of dependence on God, amen, not on man. So the way to be Christ-focused is to die to ourselves. That's how we become single-minded. And when we become single-minded, that's how we become overcomers. We overcome. Kathy, can you bring up Revelation 12:11? This makes it so clear, so clear. Revelation 12:11, and they, the brethren, overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How? They did not love their lives to the death. Our flesh has to die and stay dead. It wants to keep crawling off of the altar every time we put it on. As long as we live in this body, we got to deal with the flesh, guys. We got to deal with it. But you know what it said there in Revelation 12:11? It didn't say that they overcame by their great intellect, did it? It didn't say that they overcame because they have all those awesome degrees from all the different schools. How'd they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they died to self. They died to self. There are so many scriptures that deal with this. We're going to look at a few now, okay? But there are so many. We'll look at a few. Kathy, could you bring up Romans 8, 12 to 13? So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, that's clear. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Whoa. Let's look at the next one. Kathy, Matthew 10:38. And he who does not take his cross, this is Jesus, and follow after me, is not worthy of me. Take up your cross. Die, self, die. Jesus is saying, die to yourself. Next one, Kathy, Romans 6:6-7. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Kathy, Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Another version says it this way. You lay aside the old self. Whoa. Something we got to do, right? You lay that aside. That, you know, your old self has some appetites. That, you know, you have some appetites in your body that old self wants to rejuvenate. That old self is dead. We don't want to rejuvenate those things. We die. Another one, Kathy, Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Churches, pastors in Asbury Park, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. All these scriptures, there's so many more. All these scriptures are referring to us dying to ourselves, you know, our flesh dying. That, as Christians, is our obligation. That's what we're to do. And that's our spiritual responsibility. And you notice in there, we are to renew our minds to what God says, his way of thinking. Can I paraphrase it this way? We're to humble ourselves. Humble yourself to God and what he says. And then do it. Follow what he says. No buts, no what ifs, no, well, God made me this way. Our thoughts and opinions don't count. God's does. What matters is what God says about something, not what we say. When we humble ourselves, we esteem God. What God says matters. That's what makes our knowing which choice to make when we're faced with choices simple. When we die to self and we follow him, we do what he says. Then the decision to know what to do is easy. We just follow him, whatever he says. Kathy, could you go to the next scripture? Jesus said this. Matthew 11:29-30, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is what?
Easy.
It's easy. And my burden is light. This isn't difficult. Jesus is saying, do this my way. It's easy. It's easy. You know, a yoke is a piece of wood that connects two oxen together. And what they did in biblical days, they would take an older ox and pair it with a younger ox. The older ox was experienced. He was experienced. So they would pair the younger one with him. And so the older one would guide the younger one so he would know which way to go. We're to be yoked up to Jesus. Yoked to him. A yoke is a symbol of submission, servitude. We submit to Jesus, and he guides us. He leads us by his Spirit, which is in every one of you. He leads you. We submit ourselves to God. He guides us. What does he say? But be aware, like with Jesus, you'll face rejection on this earth. Perhaps even in Christian circles. Perhaps even in your families. When there's division in the camp, we need to make sure that we're on the right side. That side is God's side. The right side is God's side. That good, that acceptable, perfect will of God. Remember what happened in Scripture? In Numbers chapter 16, there were some men who rose up against Moses and Aaron. Remember those guys? Korah and his gang. These men were supposedly all in the same camp, right? And these men, Korah and his gang, they were actually revered by the Israelites. They were revered by them. But their pride, the pride got in the way. They were jealous of Moses and Aaron, and they were causing division. God had put Moses and Aaron in the position of authority. And those men were not, they were not submitted to God. They wanted to do their own thing. Let's pick it up in Numbers 16:3. Kathy, you got that one? They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, we're talking about divisions here, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Right there is pride and jealousy. Right there, okay? Verse 4, so when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company. Tomorrow morning the Lord will show you who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. So there was division among God's people. It's very important that when there is division, that we as Christians can discern which is the right side. When you know what's God's perfect will, what's his perfect, acceptable, good will here. Okay, I'm going to, verse 2 of that same chapter says that 250 leaders of the congregation cooperated with Korah and his gang. And God is about to reveal the site that he has chosen. And he had chosen Moses and Aaron. We know that story. Not Korah and his gang, even though they were leaders in the congregation as well. You know, it doesn't matter what position we hold, we have to submit to God. Doesn't matter you could be president of the United States, you got to submit to God. This is what he says that counts. Not your little opinion, you know. So in verse 21 of that chapter, God tells Aaron and Moses to separate themselves. Divide, separate yourselves from Korah, that I may consume them in a moment. Whoa, God's making a decision here on sides. He was upset with Korah's insubordination and all the other 250 that went with him. I wonder how God felt when those 15 to 20 pastors and churches sided with the protesters. Huh, wonder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see what happens here. In verses 22 to 26, you can read it along in your Bibles. Moses and Aaron, they plead to God to spare the congregation of Israel. And I want to pick it up here, Kathy. We have 6:31. Okay. Now it came to pass, as he, this is Moses, finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them. The ground! verse 22, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah, and with all their goods. Kathy, next scripture, verse 33. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. So God had an earthquake happen, coincidentally, just at that time, and it swallowed up all those, the Korah and his men and their families. Their families went with them too. They all suffered because of the pride of those so-called leaders. God made his choice. It's real important when there's a division, know which side God is on and get on it. That's the side to be on. It's very important. You know, I don't read a newspaper very often. I'd rather read the truth. But there was last week we brought this. I brought this article out. We had it laminated. You know, remember the ad from Hobby Lobby? They took out a full page ad in Allentown paper and all across the country. They put their money where their mouth is. So while I was cutting out that article, I came across another. I just saw a headline, and this was in the same paper. It said, "Father and son disagree on Trump. They run against each other. They're running for a position in the government, and they're running against each other." So I believe that this article reveals a division in that family, and it represents the division that we see in our country. Here, this father and son, they live in Rhode Island. One is for the father is for Trump, and the other one, the young man, is against Trump. But they're running for the same office. That office, the father's running as a Republican, and the son is running as an independent. They both live at the same address in Rhode Island. They're both running for the state house seat that is currently held by a Democrat there in Rhode Island. They drove together in the same car to City Hall to file the papers for this position. They were received with surprised faces. Can you imagine? Smiles, people laughing and saying, "Oh, that's so funny." But I believe this is a representation of the division in our country that we're seeing. This example just happens to be going on in the same family. You may have experienced some of that in your own family. But here, there's two people, they in the same family, and they have two different opinions. You know what? Each one of them are entitled to their opinion. But as a Christian, which opinion is right? Which one is right? That's the opinion you want to be on. That's the side you want to be on, okay? Which one aligns with God in this matter? This is not about what you or I want. It's not about us. It's about, God, what do you want? What do you want, God? What do you say? What is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of yours? The division in the country, we need to make sure we're on the right side of that division. There is division. There is division. You know, some like President Trump, and some do not. Personally, you know, I feel when they were all running, there were some others who had more eloquent speech and actions. But they were not God's choice. President Trump was God's choice. Whether you love him, hate him, or whatever, it was God's choice. We got to get behind what God says, not what we, our peanut brains, think. God knows the whole picture. And you know what? It's very clear that God was behind President Trump. Trump is getting the job done. He's getting it done. When have we seen this kind of employment? Wow. Do you remember we had four people that were running for president that said, "I promise that if you elect me, you get me into office, I will move our embassy to the Capitol in Jerusalem. I will do that." Four presidents said that. Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump. Only one of them got the job done. Amen. Only one. And I don't even think, or I'm not sure, but I kind of don't even think that President Trump was aware that he was lining us up to be blessed. I don't think so, you know. God blesses those who side with Israel. So I'm not sure if he knew that or not. But anyway, I pray for the young man in this article. He's already started out on the wrong side and doesn't know it. He's on the wrong side. He's against Trump. he's anti-God. Okay. So if he can't discern God's choice for president, how will he be able to lead the people? You know what I mean? In Rhode Island there. How could he? He doesn't know. We saw in Scripture last week, it's our responsibility. We saw it this morning. It's our responsibility to put godly men and women into leadership positions that love truth and hate covetousness. The ones who submit to God. We submit to God. It is not the other way around. We submit to him. Lightning news there. There was another division of sorts in the Bible that I want to talk about, and that will close us out here. It was a separation. It was a separation that had to take place, okay? Remember the situation between Abram and his nephew Lot? Remember? They were so blessed. Their herds became so great. They couldn't live together anymore because they were fighting for the water and the land and the pasture land. I'm going to pick this up in Genesis 13:6, Kathy. Okay. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land there also. So there was strife there between these herdsmen, right? Because there wasn't enough food and water for all of their animals. They were so blessed. So there was division. Let's see what happens. Kathy, go to verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. We're brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And you know, Abram was a gentleman. He's giving Lot the first choice. You can have your first choice. Just let's not have any strife between us. Let's walk in love. Okay. So he gave Lot total freedom to choose the land. Kathy, verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Verse 11 and 12. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. So Lot saw the richest land, and he chose that for himself. It just happened that it included Sodom. We know from previous studies that there was a vibrant LGBTQ community there, right? In Sodom and Gomorrah, just like in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And if you read Genesis chapter 19, you're going to read about God's judgment, you know, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, because they went along with that perverted lifestyle. They were in agreement with it. I said all that to say this. Lot chose. He chose where to place his family. What looked good and green and lush. He was deceived by what was going on in those towns, or accepted it. Just, okay, well, they can do their thing. But he made a wrong choice. That choice cost him members of his family, including his wife. Wrong choice. Wrong choice. We didn't know what God says in his word. If there's any division in the camp, if there's any division in our country, and there is, know God's will. Know which side God is on and take your stand. When you see other Christians making wrong choices, love them. Pray for them. If God gives you an opportunity to share the truth with them in love, we do it. We do it, right? We do it in love. And Paul says this, how to deal with those who don't know the truth. Kathy, could you bring this scripture up? 2 Timothy 1:22. Pursue righteousness, faith, love. This is our instructions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love. Peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, Kathy. We don't have it? Okay, all right, I'm just going to finish that. You can read it along in your Bibles. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. This is verse 25, 2 Timothy verse 25, and now 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. If we see division, we need to know what God's will is. We need to pursue righteousness, peace with all. And if we have an opportunity to share the truth, we're to do it. In love, we share the truth in love, but not in foolish or ignorant arguments. We're to be gentle. We're not to quarrel. We are to correct. We are to love corrects. Love tells the truth. We're to be patient, and we're to pray. We're to pray for people. We're to pray for them who don't know the truth. Those are our opportunities that God gives us. So if we see a division, we need to know which side is God on, and make sure you're on that side. We saw in this whole teaching, God is for us. God is for America. Let's be for him.
Amen.
Let's be for him. Wow. Awesome.